We're hoping on Pulse Quest on the bays, bit above the middle of the armored by the two docks. Commissioner had said hell because of a hell. So the commissioner had said that if somebody offers part of a carbon, if somebody offers something from a carbon outside of this mitzvah, and then does it again, and then does it again, we said he's chayev for every aliyah, according to Rav Shimon. And Rav Yossi says he's only chayev one, we're talking how many chatos, but he's chayev for, Rav Shimon says one for each one. And we're talking about all the, where this was the hell of mecha. If it was, and where it was all from the same animal. If it was a separate halemus, well, actually we're going to be discussing in the Gemara now, it's not necessarily a matter of halemechad or not, it may even be separate halemus. We're going to see the machlokas is what's considered chaser. So Rav Shimon says he's chayiv individually for each one, Rav Yossi says only one. So, Amr Shlokish, machlokas bedalad behei evar. The machlokas is, if he offered one complete aver, and then another one, and then another one, so then the machlokas is, the maris, so, and they're in different halemus. The mar, hello. So Rish Lakish is saying the machlokas is not talking about pieces of one limb. The machlokas says Rish Lakish is if he's makriv different limbs, first one then another We just started. The marisa, we're in the middle of Pesach on the day. We just started. The marisav are namely that. Namely, so we have in the Mishnah we have the Rav Shimon and we have Rav Yehuda. Rav Shimon saying that a person is chayev individually for each halah, and Rav Yossi saying he's chayev only one chata for. So the Shlokish says that the machlokas is like this: the marisavar. Now we learned previously that you have a pasuk that says oisay lafis oisay lashem, from which we learned we had a machlokas of Rav Shmuel and Rav Akiva about this, that it has to be sholem and not chater. That the item that you're being massive has to be complete and not be missing something to be chayav. So now we have to figure out what's the definition of sholem and chater. So one opinion says the marisavar kiksiv lafis oisay, when the pasuk says that he didn't bring it, meaning the whole thing, to the mizbeach to be offered in the azara, that means which we said al sholem uchayav. Which means, as we said before, that it means he's only chayev for a complete thing, not a partial thing. He says, I call behemoth. Rav Yossi would say that refers to the entire behemoth. Therefore, if he's being makir with one piece, and then another piece, and then another piece, eventually, when he finishes being makir with the whole behemoth, sure, he's going to be chayev.
What do
you mean? Let's say it's the whole behemoth. We're talking about an ola over here. We're talking about a person who's makir with an ola, right. So therefore he holds that the sholem means the entire behemoth. Therefore, he's doing one aver at a time. Eventually, he finishes up bringing the entire behemoth. At that point, he becomes chayav achatos, says Rav Yossi. But not up until that point.
How can it be anything else?
What do you mean, how can it be anything? Well, because obviously we have another opinion, so obviously it has to be something else. Rav Shimon would say that the kulay refers to each aver individually. As long as you have a complete aver, then that's enough to be machayav. One says complete behemoth. Exactly. So that's according to Rish Lakish. Rav Yechanan, Avol, Aver, Echad, but if he's only makriv one Aver, Divrei Hakol and Chayev al Achas, then says Rish Lakish, everybody would agree, even Rav Shimon, that he's only Chayev one Chachas, for it, because it was only one Aver, he was not, when we say one Aver, what we mean is if he was makriv first one piece of the Aver and then another piece. Oh. Now, Rashi points out,
one Aver would be Chayev.
If he does it, that aver piecemeal, then he's
done.
Well, can I explain, please? Okay, so Rish Lakish is saying like this. If it's one aver, when we say hell of a cause of a hell, Rish Lakish is saying, if he takes a piece of one aver and his makrivin and then another piece, and Rashi says, we're talking about it, but he was already makriv the rest of the animal. He was already makriv the rest of the animal, now there's one piece left. We're saying, if he were to be makriv just that one piece by itself, he's only chayav for that one piece, obviously, because it's only one action. We're talking about, the Shlokish is saying, what if he were to cut that piece into a few pieces and be makriv them individually? Since it's only one aver, it makes up the whole animal because it's black aver left over from that animal. But therefore, both Rav Yossi and Rav Shimon are going to say that he's only chayav one. Rav Yossi definitely, because he says you're only chayav for the entire animal, so therefore he only becomes chayav by being makriv this one. And even Rav Shimon is going to say each one by itself, each piece by itself is chaser, it's not a complete aver. Therefore, he has to be makir the entire Eiver. Once he finishes being makir the last piece, then he's going to be chayiv one. Then he's going to be chayiv one chatas for it.
The last piece of the Eiver.
The last piece of that Eiver, right? Rashi points out for each Eiver he would be chayiv according to the Pshimim. But we're saying if he cut the Eiver into pieces, then yes. But Rashi also gives another possibility. You could have, let's say, for example, another way of looking at Eiver Echod would be, for example, that a piece of it fell off after it was, you put a complete Eiver, but then one piece fell off and then you put it back. So that would also be a case of separate things. But again, since it's Chaser, you need it to complete the entire Eiver, then even Rav Shimon is going to say only one. That's all according to the Shlomish. Rav Yechanan on the Machlokas the Eiver Echod. Rav Yechanan says no, the Machlokas is within one Eiver. Never mind the whole animal. Everybody agrees that the word oisoi, that it has to be shalom, refers to each aver individually. As Rav Yechanan, the machloikas is like the marstava muktere pnim shechatsu. Namely, we have one opinion that says, Rav Shimon, who says that if you have something that was meant to be burnt on the mizbeach inside, meaning it was shechted in the azara and then he took it outside of the azara to offer it, so shechatsu, if some of it is missing, the hell of a host, and then he were to offer that thing, which is that aver, which is missing something, bachos, chayim, umar stava potter. Whereas Rav Yossi would hold that he's potter because the fact of the matter is it is chotzer. The first mar stava would be Rav Shimon, and the second one would be Rav Yossi. But again, in other words, according to that, the fact that it has to be shalom refers to the individual aver, definitely not for the whole animal. But he says that Rav Shimon would still say that because it was muktzeh pnim, because it was meant to be offered on the mizbeach, and the fact of the matter is, we learned earlier in Hamizbeach Mekadesh, we learned that if a piece of a carbon falls off the mizbeach, poitin, we have a mitzvah to return it to the mizbeach, even though it's not a complete aver. Therefore, says Rav Shimon, by analogy, therefore, if you were to take this chaser and be makir of it outside the azara, then you'd be chayek.
That's a big difference, because when he was placed, it was
the point is, it's muktzeh pnim shechatsu, it's missing something, and now he took it outside. Even the fact that it's missing something doesn't prevent it from being placed on the mizbeach. Adrabah, if it falls off the mizbeach, you have to put it back. Therefore, Rav Shimon says, by analogy, we can't say that the issue of chaser applies to that. Chaser would apply, he would say, to muktzeh chutz, if it was shechted outside the Beit Mikdash. But if it was shechted inside, he would say that chaser is still chayav. And Rabbi Yossi would say possible. But continues Rabbi Yochanan, if he did separate Eivorim, one then another then another, then everybody, even Rabbi Yossi, would agree that he's chayav because each Eivor is a complete entity in itself. So Rabbi Yochanan is taking exactly the opposite view from Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish had said everybody agrees that everybody agrees he's possible if it's within one Eivor, pieces of one Eivor. And Rav Yechanan says, no, within pieces of one aver is what we're arguing about. Whereas if it was separate avarim, then everybody would agree it's chayav separate chafaris. So again, we're talking about separate hayalim.
What makes it chayav for Rav Yossi?
The fact that both Rav Shimon and Rav Yossi are agreeing, we're saying that it can't be chaser. But Rav Yossi holds, according to the Shlokish, that chaser refers to the animal as a whole. And Rav Yechanan holds that Rav Yossi agrees that chaser applies to the aver only, not to the animal as a whole. However, therefore, it can't be chaser. If some of it was missing, and now you're going to be matched with it bachos, then he would say chaser. Rav Shimon would say the concept of chaser does not apply in that case where it was shechted in the azara, because then we would say, just like you say poikin, we would say that if a piece falls off the mizbeach, you have to put it back. Therefore, we see when it comes to offering on the mizbeach, there's no issue of whether an aver is chaser or not. By analogy, therefore, when it comes to how law of course, the same thing should apply. There's no difference between chaser and not. Upliga de Ula. Then the Gemara says, now these two opinions disagree with Ula. So now we're going to have a third opinion about how to understand them according. The Oma Ula, Hakol Mojim B'muktere Knim Shechosru B'Hel B'Chot Shechayim. Ula says, I'm accepting what Rabbi Yochanan is saying, that there's a gift that we're talking about muktzeh pnim, but I say the machlokas is actually on that point. Hakol Moedim B'Mukter Esnim Shachosir B'Hela B'Chutz Shachayim. Everybody would agree that if it was shechted inside the Azara and then taken outside and then part of it is missing, let's say part of it had already been burned down on the Mizbeach, or let's say some of it is cut off on the way, whatever, that then he would be chayev, because unlike Rabbi Yochanan is saying that only Rav Shimon would say that the din of chosir doesn't apply in that case because it was shechted inside, Ula is saying Rabbi Yossi would agree to that also. But therefore, Hakol Moedim B'Mukter Esnim, so everybody would agree if it was shechted in the Azara and then taken outside, Shechosru, where some of it is missing, the Hela Bachos, and then he offered it outside, Shechayev, then everybody, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, would agree that he's Chayev. L'nechlik, says Ola. L'nechlik, who elab mukhtere bachot. The machloitis, rather, is, if the animal was shechted outside the Azara, Shechosru, and now some of it is missing, the Hela Bachos, and now he offered it outside, so now, what's the machlokes? The marsava potter or marsava chayev. Namely, therefore, you have Rabbi Yossi would say that he's potter because it's potter, and Rabbi Shimon would say, nevertheless, even then he's chayev. According to Ullah. That's version number one of Ullah. Ikadamri, now we have a second version of Ullah, yeah, as if we didn't have anything complicated enough already. On top of this, so far we're explaining according to Rashi. Tosfos has yet another way of explaining the whole Gemara. Yeah, well. What? Yeah, we probably should have prepared a chart, but okay, well, anyway. Fine. Well,
for a whiteboard.
Yeah. All right. Ikadamri, Oma Ola. Another version is that Ola says, Hakol Moedim B'Mukteri Chot Shechosru, the hell of a Chotru Potter. According to the second version, no, the other way around. Ola would say that if it was shechted outside and some of it is missing, and now he's offering it Bachot, definitely Ola would say, according to that version, I don't know, it's fine, but Ola would say, according to that version, everybody would agree that he's chaser, because the fact of the matter is it's chaser. L'nechliku alav mukhtir ispnim shechaser v'hel v'chot. The machloikas, rather, would be about the ones that were shechted in the Azara, and then he's offering it outside, which is similar to what Rabbi Yochanan said, actually.
Right.
Which is similar to what Rabbi Yochanan said. It's the opposite version of what Ola just said, right? That's why we have two versions within Ola. It's basically similar to what Rabbi Yochanan says. So therefore, the Marisava Potter or Marisava Chayev, namely, therefore, again, we would say that Rabbi Yossi would say that he's Potter in that case, so it's Potter, and Rabbi Shimon would say because it's Mukhtar Pnim, therefore it's a special case, and therefore even Potter is Chayev. Okay. So the Gemara says, now we also find that Avur de Shmuel argues with the first version of Ola. He could conceivably agree with the second version of Ola, which is also basically the same as Rabbi Yochanan.
Agreed with the second one.
No, because he could take Rosh Lakish's version. But we're going to see. At least we know that he argues with the first
two versions.
Fine, but he doesn't have to hold like any version of Ola. So far we had Rosh Lakish, we had Rabbi Yochanan, and we had two versions of Ola, where the second version of Ola is similar to what Rabbi Yochanan said. But it might mean he disagrees with both. No, come on. What do you mean? And we know for a fact he's disagreeing with the first one. We can prove it from the following statement. The Amar Avor de Shmuel, because Avor de Shmuel says, Keman Mahadrinan Koikin Lagabi Mizbeach, which opinion do we follow when we say that if a piece of meat bursts or falls off the fire, that you have to return it to the Mizbeach? Now remember, that is Choser. That's not a complete aver necessarily that fell off. And he says, Keman the Loiter of Yosef. He says that would have to be not according to Rabbi Yossi. Now, if we say that Rabbi Yossi holds that Mukhtarit Pnim Shechosru, and a person is makir of them outside, then he's chayev, then that should mean, by analogy, then therefore Poikin should be put back on the Mizbeach. Because why would he be makir him for an incomplete Aver outside? Because that incomplete Aver, if it was inside, would have had to be put back on the Mizbeach. If Avur de Shmuel is saying that Rabbi Yossi would disagree with that concept, and he would say you don't have to put poikin back on the Mizbeach, meaning would that amount to saying that Rabbi Yossi holds, according to Avur de Shmuel, that only a complete Eder has to be put on the Mizbeach. From Mukhtar Esnim, that is, from a carbon that was shechted in the Azar. If only a complete Eder has to be put on back on the Mizbeach, it falls off, that implies that, in other words, if it's less than a whole Eder, Rabbi Yossi would hold you do not have to put it back. Therefore, by analogy, Rabbi Yossi would also hold that less than a complete Aver from Mukhtar Esnim, a person would not be chayev for if he does it outside. So that necessarily disagrees with Ola's first version that said that everybody agrees that Mukhtar Esnim, if they're chosru, then he's chayev. According to Avur de Shmuel, that wouldn't work.
Okay.
So it could work according to Ulla's second version, because Ulla's second version, in fact, said that that's the point that Rav Yossi and that Rav Yossi and Rav Shimon are arguing about is about Mukhtar Ikhnim, whether he's Potter or Chayev. In other words, do you have to put back a complete Eva or not? So it can be, it can work according to Ulla's second version. It can also work according to Rav Yochanan, which is basically saying the same thing. It wouldn't work with Ulla's first version. And it wouldn't, it could maybe also work with Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish wasn't addressing the whole thing of Mukhtar Ikhnim and Mukhtar Ikhnim. Rish Lakish was just saying that according to Rav Yossi, anything less than a complete behemoth is considered chassid. So that, according to him, that wouldn't necessarily affect the whole issue of protein. Rav Yossi definitely agreed you have to put each individual aver of a carbon on the mizbeach. So we talked about yesterday, we had a machlokes Rav Yochanan and a mishlokish, if you have a piece where the meat doesn't amount to a kazayas, but then you have bone attached to it, which makes it up to a kazayas. That's Rav Yochanan and a mishlokish argued about that, whether he's chayev or not. Rav Yochanan said yes, Rav Shlokish said no. If it was just the bone by itself, he wouldn't be chayev, the same way as we said back in Hamizbeach Mekadesh, that if a bone falls off from the Zeach, you don't have to put it back. Right. Okay. So again, all this is a coin to Rashi. Tosfos then has a whole different explanation of the sugya that basically Tosfos starts by saying that we're talking about. So if he starts, unlike Rashi is saying according to Rav Yossi, according to the Shlokish's version of Rav Yossi anyway, that he'd have to be marked with the last piece in order to be chayev because he's only chayev for a complete behemah. Tosfos learns that what we would say is he's chayev. You have all the Evorim there, you have the entire behemoth is lying over there. Now he takes one Aver of it and offers it outside of his mitzvah. He'll be chayev for that. Specifically, actually, what it is he'll be chayev for the first kizayah of the first Aver. Then after that, Tosfos says, according to the Shlokish's understanding of Rav Yossi, after that he'll be potter for the rest of them, because at that point the animal is kosher. At that point, one limb is missing because it was already offered.
According to Rashi,
it's the last one that makes them chayev, according to the Shlokish, and according to Tosfos, it's the first one. Right. That would be according to the Shlokish, and then according to Rav Yochanan, and then he continues explaining why you only chayev for the first kazayas, why you're not chayev for the second kazayas. Basically, Tosfos's understanding is that there needs to be a kazayas, that even though we're talking about over here about a whole Eva or whatever, ultimately, the fundamental thing is there has to be a haktara, there has to be an offering of a kazayas for the person to be chayev, which also affects, that's also going to affect in the next mission. Right, so that discussion is also going to affect, and the discussion in the Gemara over here is also going to affect the understanding of the next Mishnah, because the next Mishnah mentions something about a person offering a kazayas from an ola, according to Rashi's understanding of the different opinions in the Gemara over here, not necessarily is that Mishnah according to everybody. It might not be according to any of these opinions, because according to Rashi's understanding of the machlokas over here, nobody's saying you're chayef. Nobody's saying that either Rav Yossi or Rav Shimon would say you're chayef for kazayis. They say you need a whole aver or a whole behema or mukhtar ikhnim, mukhtar ikhot, etc., but not necessarily just a kazayis. According to any of these opinions, according to Rashi, so that might require us to say that the next Mishnah represents yet a third opinion of a panel. That would say that it's not a complete behemoth, it's not a complete aver, it's not a matter of whether it's pnim or chutz or whatever. You're chayev for a kazayis, as opposed to according to Tosfos and also according to the Rambam, who also learns the Gemara somewhat vaguely similar to the way Tosfos does. Then the next Mishnah can work according to the next Mishnah can work according to Rav Shimon and maybe even according to Rav Yossi as well. So if you have, for example, according to Tosfos, the complete animal there and the person is makir a kazayas of it, he's already chayev at that point because the whole animal was sitting over there, and therefore the next Mishnah can be talking about being makir with one kazayas, meaning out of a whole animal that's sitting there.
Either it's the whole animal, or it's a kazayas.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So yeah. So anyway, those are the various ways of understanding Rav Yossi and Rav Shimon in our Mishnah. Okay. Then the Mishnah continued. V'ein chayev atshiyah l'chola. We said the person is chayev for halah b'chus outside the Beit Mikdash only if he's mal. We said that Rav Yossi had said in the Mishnah. Actually, the Mishnah hadn't said in so many words Rabbi Yossi Yoyma, but it was a continuation of Rabbi Yossi's statement, so the Gemara is understanding that it is actually he who's saying it, that a person is chayav only if he actually puts it on a mizbeach. And Rabbi Shimon says even if he puts it on a rock. We're talking about a bama, but in other words, a bama can be an actual built mizbeach, like we find in different places in Tanakh where they built mizbeachas illegally outside the Beit HaMikdash, and sometimes for Avodah Zarah, or you can have a plain rock, as well as we're going to give an example over here from the story of Manoach, of Shimshon's parents. Okay. So Rabbi Yossi says a person is chayav only if he's makrivit on a mizbeach. During the time when bomits are offered, when you're not allowed to offer korbanos outside of Beit Mikdash, which is the subject of this whole perek and most of the next perek, so then Rabbi Yossi is saying that only if a person actually is makrivit on a built mizbeach is he chayav, otherwise not. And Rabbi Shimon says even if he does it on a rock. My time is in Rabbi Yossi. Why does Rabbi Yossi insist it has to be on a mizbeach? Because you have a pasuk after the marble, why even Noach mizbeach Hashem? It says that Noach built a mizbeach. So obviously, therefore, even a bamas yochid, even a private bama, before the Mishkan was built, you were allowed to make bamas wherever you wanted and offer to Hashem. But we see that offering to Hashem outside of the Mikdash has to be on a mizbeach. Rabbi Yochanan, my time is Rabbi Shimon. Then Rabbi Yochanan says, okay, what's Rabbi Shimon's reason? Why does he say even a rock is enough? Just it, because you have a pasuk in Shoftim. We have it in the Haftorah, Parashas Nofta. You have the whole story over there where a malach comes in a feud with someone, Noach's wife, Tzlopanis, the Gemara tells us her name was, and tells her she's, you're going to have a child, and you have to raise him as a nazir, and et cetera, et cetera. And then the malach comes a second time in response to Manoach's request, and then Manoach and his wife don't realize yet that this is a malach. They think it's a navi or something. So they want to offer him some food. So what does the pasuk say? And the Navi tells him, no, if you want to bring a korban, bring it to Hashem. So sure enough, Vayikach Manoach Zviha isn't there to Mincha. Manoach took the kid goat that he had shechted and the Mincha, Vayal alasur l'Hashem, and he offered it on a rock to Hashem. So says Rabbi Shimon, you see from that, offering on a rock is good enough.
Can you turn it off
from a story? Apparently. No, but the stone is still a stone. It's not a purpose-built mizbeach. In fact, Rashi mentions...
It's not a mizbeach,
exactly. In fact, Rashi mentions, we learned in Avodah Zarah, Rashi mentions it on the podcast, in Shoftim, that... No, of course not. They weren't looking at any of that. But Rashi on the podcast mentions, the Gemara mentions in Avodah Zarah, that you have a mizbeach is one built out of many stones. A matseva is stone. But you find over there that Yaakov set up a matseva over there on Har HaMoriah, where he slept overnight. Both Rav Shimon and Rav Yossi have to put him. What is Rav Shimon doing with the pasuk about Noach? Vayivin mizbeach Hashem. The answer is Ahu goiva ba'alma. That was just okay. He built a platform for convenience so he'd have a place to be makriv. He didn't have to be makriv on that, but it was more convenient to be able to be makriv on an actual flat mizbeach rather than a stone. But not necessarily are we meant to learn halacha. The idach nami. What would Rabbi Yossi answer? Haktiva yikach manoyach. The pasuk with manoyach on the rock. The answer is hirash shah. He would say it was a hirash shah. And as a matter of fact, actually, now later at the very end of the Masechta, we're going to talk about the times in history when bomits were allowed and were not allowed. We're going to have over there the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, who says, now usually we always grow up learning that during the time when Mishkan Shila was standing, bomits were also. They were only mostly before and after it. But Rabbi Shimon holds over there in the last parak, at the end of the Masechta, that actually bomits were allowed during the time of Mishkan Shila. Therefore, according to him, there's no need to resort to a Harash Shah. You could say that he was massive outside the Mishkan, which was perfectly allowed in those days, and you see that he was massive on a rock. So therefore, by analogy, when bomites are also being massive on a rock is enough to make a person higher. Whereas Rabbi Yossi, who doesn't hold that, Rabbi Yossi, who holds that bomites were also during the years of Mishkan Shiloh, he would have to say, so what is Manoach doing in bringing a korban outside of the Mishkan? He'd have to say, I'm Rastra. So it all fits. Or another possibility, you could say Rav Shimon's not learning from the story with Manoach. High no time of the Rav Shimon, you could say Rav Shimon's reason is as follows. Kidatanya, as we learn in the Brisa. Rav Shimon Omer, The pasuk says Mizbach Pesach Ohel Moed. The pasuk says that the person did not bring it on the Mizbeach in front of the Ohel Moed, implying that a Mizbeach Babama, implying that when it comes to offering korbanos on a Bama during the times when it's allowed, you do not have to be machzir them on a Mizbeach. Therefore, he says, therefore, if a person were to offer a korban on a rock or on a stone, chayev. You were talking about the time when bama is a mutter, when he's allowed to bring a korban on a bama, and you're saying that a rock is good enough. You should say yosa, that he was yosa. He made a neder to bring a korban to Hashem, to bring an olo or a shlomim, and he was yosa. He did it. The answer is hokakama, right. What the braisa means is l'ficha, because bringing it on a rock or a stone is good enough at the time of heter bamos, therefore, b'shach iser ha-bamos, so when it's in a time when bamos, so also, hela al-asela, I'll have higher than if you were to offer it on a rock or a stone, he'd be higher. Because whatever is considered a bama during the time of heter bamos becomes now also, as soon as bamos become also. So according to the Shimon, you only need him as be'ach tetach al-yomoid and not anywhere else. Then when it comes to Easter bummers, then the same thing, it would apply to rocks and stones as well. So he would say, we're not learning. He would say, like we said before, we're not learning from Noach, we're not learning from Manoach. Noach just put up a Mizbeach because it was easier to do that than just to find them, then it was easier to do that than to be massive on a rock. Well, then. Could be. Could be, I don't know. Rashi just says, Goyva Ba'alim, Kederach Kol Ha'aretz. It's like the way people usually do. She had Noach Le'ishtamash. It's easier to do it on that than on a rock. A rock has jagged edges. A rock has whatever. You're going to go look around Dafka for a flat rock. It's much easier, especially you have the manpower over there. Just gather a few people together, put some rocks together, and within a few minutes, you have them there.
That's right. So if you get a few together, you have to
make it. Yeah, okay, fine. But still, you have a more or less flat surface as opposed to, yeah.
You put the rocks in, kind of, so they
fit. Yeah, you can do that also. Okay. Boy, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Hanina. So Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Hanina asks as follows. According to Rabbi Yosi, who's saying that you need a Mizbeach, which means that for a person to be chayav for Shchut Echot, for Halos, Bechot, rather, there has to be an actual Mizbeach, not just a rock. And according to him, presumably that would mean, in a time of Heter Bamos, then you need a Mizbeach. When we say you need a Mizbeach, does it have to have the rules of the Mizbeach that exists in the Beis Hamikdash? Keren, now we talked about earlier in the sixth parak, we said that there were certain details that are active in the Mizbeach and the Beis Hamikdash. If any of them is missing, the Mizbeach is possible. And they are Keren, that it has to have horns, the Kevesh, and a ramp, the Yisoid, that it has to have a Yisoid, the Ribua, and that it has to be square. All those things are required to be in the Mizbeach and the Beis Hamikdash, as opposed to other things we said over there. For example, the size is not massive, and in fact, we have different, as we said in the first verse, the second Beis Hamikdash has different sizes. Maoshi asked with Obama, are such things massive when it comes to Obama? If you make a Obama during the time of Heter Bamos, and it doesn't have a Keren or a Kevesh or whatever, is it a valid Bama? And for that matter, according to Rabbi Yossi, if he were to bring a Korban on such a Bama in the time of Issur Bamos, is he Chayav Koris or Chasa? Tanya, well, we learn in a Braita, Keren v'Kevesh v'Ribua v'Yisoid ma'akim v'Bama G'dola, all those things are ma'akim when it comes to the Bama G'dola, meaning, now the Bama G'dola means the one that's used by the Sibur. We're going to learn in the last parak, we're going to talk about there were periods of Jewish history when the Aron was not together with the rest of the Mishkan. You had during the 14 years when the Mishkan was in Gilgal, when they were conquering and dividing Eretz Yisrael, and afterwards, after Mishkan Shiloh was destroyed, when the Mizbeach was in Noi, when Mishkan Shiloh was destroyed, and the Plishtim captured the Aron, and after that it was in Tirat Yorim, and then Yerushalayim, whatever. Meanwhile, the Mishkan and the Mizbeach were in Noi and Givayim. So during those periods, the Mizbeach, the public Mizbeach, which everybody was going to, has a new name. Instead of being called the Mizbeach, it's called the Bum of Jehovah.
Why?
Because at that time, you could have Bum of Tanis, because at that time, you could have private Bummers. As opposed to in times when the Mishkan is properly put together and the Aron is in it, in the Midbar, in Shulah, and in Yerushalayim, then you can't have private bummers. So then you don't call this a Bum of Gdola, because there's no Bum of Tanis allowed. So all those things, I'm asking Bum of Gdola, all those things I'm asking in the Bum of Gdola, meaning even when the Mishkan was in Noiv and Givon, there ain't, and how much more so when it's in Shulah and in the Beis Hamikdash, there ain't ma'akim, Bum of Kana, those things are not ma'akim by a Bum of Kana. Person puts up a private Bum, it does not have to have Kronos, it does not have to have a Kevesh, etc. As long as it's a Mizbeach, Rabbi Yossi would consider that valid.
Okay. What makes it any fair?
The fact that it's built. The fact that it's built out of not of more than one, of more than one.
Yeah.
Rav Jimmy is saying, according to Rav Jimmy, this is all within Rav Jimmy.
You cemented with something?
I mean, it could be, I guess, practically speaking, it probably would, but I don't know. Okay. Mishnah says. Yeah. Yeah. Mishnah says, Echad Kodshim Sherin, the Echad Kodshim Stolen Trey, Stolen Rakhodesh, whether the Kodshim that we're talking about, that the person is offering outside the Mishnah, whether they're kosher, in other words, that they were shechted in the Azara and then taken out, or that they were stolen, Shahoyah Stolen Rakhodesh, or they became possible in a way where the psul was bakodesh, which we learned earlier in the Masechta. We had a machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos what psul and bakodesh means, whether it means that the psul happened after they were brought into the Azara, or whether it means a psul that only applies once they're in the Azara, or does it mean also, we had another explanation over there, that it means a psul that you have it, there's a psul where there are exceptions, where it will be kosher. For example, according to that explanation, for example, the soul of a Zohar bringing it, let's say, is considered soul in Bakodesh because a Zohar can bring a carbon by a bomb. As opposed to some other soul, then we have no exceptions to them. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, right. So Tommy, yeah, Tumma, but Sibra, right, et cetera. Yeah. So all those, the Kriven Bakut, all those, if you offered them outside of the Mishnah, Chayev, then he is Chayev, Kores, or Chatas, because all of these things were things that were suitable to go on the Mizbeach, and that's the basic rule. If they were suitable to go on the Mizbeach, then he's Chayev for Halah Bakut to them. We learned in HaMizbeach the Kaddish. We learned that we had a Machlokas on that topic, which kind of Sulim are suitable from the Mizbeach, at least for the Yevet, even although they're Yerdu, and which one's not. So what we're saying in our Mishnah would depend on that, actually. It would depend on that classification. Right, but that's, right. So Trefer would be an example. So that's the thing. Do we consider Trefer Psula Bakodesh? Not necessarily, because, I mean, no, we wouldn't, actually, because it was Trefer beforehand. It didn't become Trefer once it came into the Azara. It's not something that applies only in the Azara. It's not something where there's any exception to. So no, that wouldn't be considered Psula Bakodesh. But, for example, if something went wrong during the Shchita, Machsheves Man, Machsheves Makom, Zor, Tomei, etc., those kinds of things are among the examples of Psula Bakodesh. Sulei Bakodesh we're talking about, where it became possible in the Kodesh. So again, what does that mean? Does it mean that it became possible only after it was brought into the, only, is it a soul that happened only after it was brought into the Azara? Is it a soul where the definition of it is it only applies in the Azara? It's not something that applies outside the Azara. Or is it something where there are exceptions where sometimes it can be Kodesh and sometimes not, even though it's possible? Because for example, a Kohen was Tomei shechted it. So a Kohen was Tomei did the Avodah of it, for example. Where since Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, it's Koyim B'Tzibur, then that would be a case where Olu Lo Yeru was
the Lord. So it would be either in the Azara or
Ali Lo Yeru? Yes, so that's we've said before, that we have a machloitus on the definition of Sulu Kohen.
Okay, well,
all Kohenites were brought in the Azara.
But the Olu Lo Yeru is a true?
Olu Lo Yerdu means that sometimes you have a korban that is possible, but nevertheless, you're not supposed to be putting it on the Mizbeach, but if you did, you don't take it off. In other words, that the Kodesh is the Mizbeach and the Kabbalah is the Yerdu. So that's one way of looking at what Sul and Makodesh means, that even though it's possible, if it is something that afterwards, the Yerdu, if you were to put it on the Mizbeach, you would leave it there, then that's called Sul and Makodesh. That's one of the three definitions of Sul and Makodesh.
The second one being?
The other ones are whether it's something that could have happened in the Azara or could have happened even before it came to the Azara, or something that, something that only applies, or something that's part of the Avodah, that only happened in, something that happened in the Azara or not, or something that is only relevant in the Azara versus not. Alright, let's go on. That's a side thing. The point is that the Sul and Bakodesh were saying the Kriv and Bakut, he was masters and outside Chayev, because these are things that, because as we'll see in the Gemara, actually. Okay. Hamala kezayis mina olo minhay murim b'chol. If somebody offers outside of this mikdash a kezayis, which consists partly of the meat of an ola and partly of the emurim of the ola, then he's chayav because the whole ola, the meat and the emurim of it are meant to be burnt on the mizbeach, as opposed to, we'll see in the Gemara, that does not apply to other korbanos. Because other korbanos, the meat of them is not meant to be burnt on the mizbeach, so it's not roi b'snim. As we learned before, also in Amidbeach Mekadosh, we said if a person were to take, for example, a piece of meat from a shlomin and put it on the Mizbeach, that would not be one of those in Ololo Yeridu things, because even though it was placed on the Mizbeach, it doesn't belong there, and you take it off, and you take it off, you do take it off, so therefore it's not the Kodesh is not Makabala.
Yeah,
because it doesn't belong there. Right, that's the point. Okay, but as opposed to over here, we're talking about an ola, so half of it is boster, half of it is emurim, nevertheless is chayev, because those two have combined together for one kezayis. So again, like I was saying before, this that the Mishnah is telling us over here, a person is chayev for a kezayis. One way of looking at it is that the third opinion, besides Rav Yossi and Rav Shimon, who we're talking about over there, a whole behemoth or a whole aver or what have you, so according to this, it could be even one kezayis of an aver. Or the other way of looking at it is maybe even Rav Shimon and maybe even Rav Yossi would say that even being makriv one kezayis out of a whole aver is enough to make him chayev, provided the whole aver is there or the whole behemoth is there, as the case may be. You also have, I think, the Ma'ariv Kurker talks about on the Rambam that another possibility is also, let's say, for example, he was makriv the whole animal on the mizbeach, but he left over one kezayis and took it outside and was makriv it over there. That would also make him chayev according to everybody. So either way, however you look at it, you have the complete thing that's left at that point. All that's left is a kezayis. All right, so the Gemara still says, turn it up on. When the pasuk says, "Asher yala ola oizavach," the pasuk says that a person offers an ola or a korban. What's the word? So we're taking out actually Shitim Kubetz takes that oizavach because we're not up to that yet. So asher yala ola, it says a person offers an ola outside of this mitzvah, in chayav karis, aimly ala ola. Now, if you only had those words, you would know it only refers to an ola. Minayim l'rabbis emurei osham. How do we know it also includes the emurim of an osham, the emurei chatas, the emurei kodshim kalim, the emurei kodshim kalim, kodshim kodshim, the emurei kodshim kalim, tamadlam is zevach. Therefore, the pasuk says that he's makriv an ola or a zevach. Zevach means, well, it's not so much a prat, but zevach means generically all other korbanos. All other shechtes korban. Minayin l'rambis ha-koymes, how do we know that it also includes the person offers a koymes of a mincha outside of the mikdash, v'halavoyna, or the lavoyna that goes on a mincha, v'akhtoris, or khtoris that's offered every day in the bit mikdash, or the khtoris that's offered on Yom Kippur, u'minchas koynim, the mincha that's brought by koyin, where the whole thing is burnt, you don't take a koymes of it, you just burn the whole thing on the back. Or minchas kohen mashiach, or the mincha that the kohen gadol brings every day, the minchas chabitin. V'amenasach shloshes logan yayin or shloshes logan mayim. Or if somebody pours on a mizbeach out or on a rock, according to the Shimon, outside the Beth Mikdash, if he pours 3 logim of wine or 3 logim of water, 3 logim of wine because that's the smallest size nitzel for wine. We're going to learn in Menachos in a few months, says the Shem. You have the Torah tells us there's a quarter of a hin, which is 3 logim for a sheep, a third of a hin, which is 4 logim for a ram, and a half of a hin, which is 6 logim for a bull, for cattle. So 3, 4, and 6. So 3 is the minimum. What are you talking about? The fact of the matter is, the Torah tells us you need to have 3 logim of wine to be menasif. As a matter of fact, even we're going to learn in menasif. If a person is menadiv, if a person is menadiv as a korban, 1 lug or 2 lugim of wine, no good. Nothing happens because 1 lug or 2 lugim is not considered a nisuk. 3 is the minimum.
A lug is
about a pint. It's about a pint, give or take. Yeah. Okay. So if he pours 3 lugim of wine, which is the minimum for a nesa, or 3 lugim of water.
Like a liter and a half.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Yeah.
Like a nice-sized wine bottle.
Yeah. Or 3 logim of water. Rashi says this would have to be talking about specifically during Sukkot, because during the rest of the year they don't pour water. It would also have to be, Rashi points out, it would have to be... So Rashi says there'd be 2 conditions for a person to be chayav for pouring water. One is it's during Sukkot, and the other one is that it was already in a kli shorer. Because otherwise, if it wasn't in a kli shorer, so it's just plain water. It doesn't have... You can't say that it's glory to go on the mizbeach. Okay, so how do we know that the din of halal, the whole supplies to all those things as well. Therefore, the pasuk says he did not bring it to the door of the oil moed, implying kolabol pasach oil moed, anything that's meant to be brought in front of the oil moed, anything that's meant to be brought on the mizbeach. Chayav another bakut. Everything, all these korbanos that we just mentioned, a mincha, levona, mincha koyim, mincha chamayim, mincha chayayin, etc. All these things. Yeah. So all these things. Anything that was meant to come to Pesach Oyo Moed and be offered on the Mizbeach, Chayov and Olavachos, and a person will be chayav for being makriv it outside of this Mizbeach. And the Braisa continues. Now, in our Mishnah, we mentioned that it applies not only if the Kodesh is kosher, but also if they're possible, provided we said that the soul is Kodesh. So now the Braisa gives us the source for that. The Ein Li Ala Kodesh and Shevim. Now, we would only know so far that all this applies only to Korbanos that are kosher. Minayin L'Rabbis Sulvan. How do we know that it also includes ones that are possible? And we're going to give a list of ones that are possible. Ones that are possible in the way that we said in our Mishnah that are still in the Kodesh. To go in how long, for example, they were left overnight. They were taken out of the Azara. They became Tomei. They were shechted with a thought of that he's going to eat them or be matched with them, Chutzlas Mane or Chutzlas Kaimai. Shekib was still in the Zorkwas Gomai, or a possible person, such as a Zor or a Tomei or whatever, received the blood or sprinkled it. Or blood that was supposed to go on the bottom half of the Mizeach, most Korbanos, and instead was placed on the top half of Chatas. Or the other way around, it was supposed to go on the top half, and he put it on the bottom half of Chatas. Or one of the ones that's supposed to go on the outer Mizeach, and he brought it into the Heichol, and sprinkled it over there. Or ones that were meant to be sprinkled in the Heichol, the Chatoris of Pnimius, and he did them outside instead. Or Pesach b'chatas shenosin shalo l'shman, shoftan really shalo l'shman. Or the Pesach or b'chatas that was shechted shalo l'shman, where we said all the way back at the beginning of the sefer that only those two korbanos are possible if you did shalo l'shman. So all those things are possible, but all of those are psulim b'kodesh. Again, according to any of the definitions of psulim b'kodesh, these are things that all happen after it was brought into the Azara. These are things that could only happen after they're brought into the Azara. They're not relevant beforehand, as opposed to, for example, Reveya, Nirba, and Trefa, and so forth, which are all ones that could just as well have happened before they came into the Azara. And they're all things that, as we learned in Hamizbeach Mekadesh, Im Olo Lo Yodu, they're all things that the Yevid, if they were placed on the Mizbeach, you don't take them down. So according to any of the three definitions of the Rishonim, it's called the Kodesh, it works with this list over here. Anyway, so all those, Minayin, how do we know that the Chiyuv for offering them outside the Mizmikdash also applies to them? Therefore, the pasuk says he didn't bring it to do it. And to do it implies, call him a scabble, Pesach HaYomod, anything that would be accepted in front of Pesach HaYomod, anything that the Dievet would be accepted on the Mizeach. In Olo Lo Yodu, Chayav and Olo Bachos, and a person is higher for being makrov outside of the Mizmikdash. So all these things, even though they're possible, they're all in Olo Lo Yodu, they're all Hamizbeach Makadish, and therefore he's higher. As opposed to, again, if for example, the korban was tossed, let's say, because it was a Reveya or Nirva, or any of the other ones in that category, then he wouldn't be higher because those are not Miskabel between them. No, those are things that him older Yehudu, those are things that are not full of the Kurdish, those are things where the stool has nothing to do with the Kurdish, it happened before it even came into the Kurdish, and there's no extension to it, and therefore him older Yehudu, even if it goes on the Mizeach, you take it off. Therefore, a person would be makrif for the thing outside of the smithers. It's author, but he wouldn't be high cards for it. No, so what we're saying is that if the stool is bakodesh, then yeah, you have to burn it someplace in the Beis HaMikdash complex, as we discussed a couple of blocks ago. If the stool happened, if, for example, the carbon was possible because of Reveya or Nirva or whatever, but Pashtus, I don't think you have to burn it necessarily in the area. It wasn't even supposed to be brought to the carbon in the first place, and if you bring it on the Mizbeach, it has to be taken down, so yeah.
Which ones do have to be taken down?
We said, and then we load that, and then the Mizbeach HaKadosh knew anything that's not Tzul of a Kodesh, anything where the Tzul has nothing to do with the Kodesh. Reveya, Nirba, Mukta, Nevar, Korag, the Adam, Trefa, whatever, all the whole, what?
Mechir,
all the things, right. Okay.
Then we said in the Mishnah, Hamala Kezayas Min Ola. We said if a person offers outside the Beis Hamikdash a Kezayas Min Ola, which consists of half Boster and half Emurim, he's Chai. So once it's Ola Ve'emurera, Ein. So the implication of the Mishnah is that only applies to an Ola and it's Emurim. Shlomim Ve'emurera, Loy. Apparently that din would not apply if a person which would be Makiv a Kezayas that consists of half a Kezayas of the meat of a Shlomim and half a Kezayas of Emurim, he wouldn't be Chai. He wouldn't be Chai. Therefore, the Gemara says, "Tanein alaha the Tanur Abam." So we've learned by implication this that it says in a Braisa more explicitly. And one thing is, Meforshim explain why the Gemara stresses that is because that tells us that the Braisa we're going to quote now is a very reliable Braisa. If you have the basic idea that is hinted at in the wording of our Mishnah, then that means we can assume it's a very reliable Braisa, and therefore we can be medayik from the words. Because like this, yeah, sometimes the Gemara will point out that a Braisa has mistakes in it or whatever, but when you have to name Allah, the Tana Rabbanan, then we know you can take this Braisa to the bank. Okay. So, the Braisa says...
Last time I took the Braisa to the bank, they didn't give me $1 million.
Why? When you were sitting in line at the bank, you didn't sit and learn, learn a Braisa, so then that day, yeah. Braisa
is Meisa.
All right. So the Braisa says, Oilo ve'emu rehom from the Kazayas, the Oila and its Emurim join together to make up a Kazayas, Laha Loisen Bachos, in the sense that if a person offers them outside of his Mikdash, he's Chayav Kares, or Chathas, Meshagig, or Chayav Alein Meshul Pigul, Nois of Atome, and also the fact that a person is Chayav for that combination regarding Pigul or Nois or Atome. But now, if the Braisa is saying that only applies to an Oila, again, it means that it doesn't apply to a shlomim. But let's see. The shlema halah, ola, I can understand why when it comes to halah, when it comes to offering it outside the Beis Hamikdash. So fine. Ola de kolon ein, and ola is meant to be completely burnt on the mizbeach. So it makes sense that the meat combines together with the emurim, because it's all part of it, of what's supposed to be offered on the Beis Hamikdash. Shlomim loy, and I can understand by a shlomim that wouldn't apply, because by a shlomim the meat does not go on the mizbeach. And in fact, in olu yodu, the meat is, doesn't even belong on the mizbeach. If you put it on there, you take it off. Yes, no. As a matter of fact, actually, it's not ma'akiv, but you do take it off the mizbeach, and the Gemara points out, we've learned it previously in the Masechta, we're going to learn it again in Menachos, that whenever you have something whenever you have a part of a korban that's meant to be eaten, there's a loisa there to put it on the mizbeach.
Such as
for example, the meat of the shlomim, yeah, or the shidai of a mincha, or whatever, yeah. Ella pigle with noiser atome, my time. Now, why should we say that by pigle noiser atome, why should we say that meat combines together with a murim? Vatnan, or actually, no, why shouldn't we say that that applies to shlomim as well? It should apply equally well to shlomim, that part meat and part emurim should count together for pigle noiser atome. Vahatnan, we learn in a Mishnah in Yila, kol ha-pigul and mistarfin, all kinds of pigul combined together to make a person chayav for eating pigul, v'chol ha-nistar and mistarfin, and all noiser combined together.
So exactly.
So kasha pigul are pigul, kasha noiser are noiser. So you have a contradiction. The Mishnah in Yila implies that any pigul which sees them imply, now both the meat and the emurim can become pigul, right? A person does the shchitter or the zikr or any of the four avodah with a machsheves man, then both the meat and the emurim become pigul. And the Mishnah over there is saying all pigulim are mistarek, which implies even meat plus emurim. And the same thing as far as noiser, it says that all noiser combined. So if you were to have some of the emurim left over beyond the deadline and some of the meat left over beyond the deadline, and a person ate it, he'd be able to combine. But the braisa implied that not. The braisa implied that by an ola yes, by a shlomim no. But the answer is pigul a pigul like kasha. Within pigul there's no kasha. Pigul to pigul there's no kasha. Because kan the pigul kan machshavas pigul. One, you're talking about the actual issue of eating pigul, and the other one, you're talking about the machshava that makes the korban pigul. We learned back much earlier in the Masechta, in the Lamed, we learned that if a person can make it pigul make the korban pigul by having in mind to eat it beyond the time, or to be makriv it beyond the time. But we said, if he has machshava about the meat, if you have a machshava about a half a kezayis of the emurim and a half a kezayis of the meat, we said it doesn't combine because But you can't, we learned over there, actually, there is a way in which you could, if you have in mind a chila for both of them, that I'll eat a half, and the mezeach will eat a half, but other than that, if he doesn't use the word achila in connection with the mezeach, then one is achila and one's tzurefa, and you can't have a machshava of achila on the emurim is not effective, because the emurim are not meant to be eaten. A machshava of tzurefa, of achtara, about the buster is not effective, because that's not meant to be burnt on the mezeach, therefore it doesn't combine. So when the Mishnah says that pigle was mistarif, it means when it comes to eating pigle, a person, if you have a carbon of pigle, and a person were to eat half a kazayas of the meat, half a kazayas of the engorim, which both are pigle, sure, he'd be higher. But when it comes to machshedas pigle, there you have to have in mind a complete kazayas of the basar, or a complete kazayas of the engorim. Not half of one, half of the other. And that would be the implication that the bride.
Because
you said achila and akhtara are not mistarif. As we said, you can't be, if you were to have in mind that he's going to burn the whole kazayas, it wouldn't be effective, because only half of that kazayas is meant to be burnt. If you were to have in mind to eat the whole kazayas, it also wouldn't be effective, because half of it is meant to be burnt on the mezeach.
Translate that to mashallah.
That's the point. If he had in mind to eat a half of kazayas, and he had in mind to burn a half of kazayas on the mezeach, and both of them kutzus mane, then it wouldn't combine, right? Okay, so that takes care of pigs. Noiser on noiser like kasha, and what about noiser? There's also no kasha. Can be noiser, can be shini toisru. Ad shal nizrak adam. One is talking about plain old eating noiser. So again, we're talking about, in other words, a person were to eat a half a kazayas of the meat and a half a kazayas of the emurim after the deadline, then yes, he'd be fine. What we mean over here, so that's what the Mishnah in Me'ilah means when it says that all noiser combined. When the braisa implies that by a shlomim noiser doesn't combine, what it means is like this. Should he toast through ad shal nizrak adam? If all there is left over before the blood was sprinkled, now it could happen, for example, before the blood is sprinkled, it could happen that the meat of the korban is destroyed or gets lost or whatever, otherwise unavailable or becomes tame or what have you. It could happen, well, whatever, it's maybe spoiled also, yeah, whatever.
Before the sprinkling.
Now, if you had at least the kazayas of the meat left, then you can go ahead and sprinkle the blood, and the korban is kosher. But if you have less than if you only have a half a kazayas of the meat, so with an ola also, an ola, the whole thing is burnt, so it doesn't matter if you have half a kazayas of one and half of the other. Either way, that whole kazayas is going to be burnt on the mezeach. But when it comes to a shlomim, where half of that kazayas is supposed to be eaten, and half of it is supposed to be burnt, then it's not mistarif in the sense that where you can't sprinkle the blood of that korban. It's not a kosher to korban. And if you did sprinkle it, Rashi continues, the korban would not be considered a korban. Therefore, the noiser of it would not be considered noiser. If a person later on were to take this kezayis, which is half boss or half emurim, and eat it past the deadline, he wouldn't be high of korban for eating noiser. Because not noiser, because it wasn't a valid korban in the first place. The blood was roid. Yeah, but because before the blood was sprinkled, the boster was lost, and all you have left is less than a kazayas of boster, then you can't do it.
Eating a silly,
still in McLaughlin, okay, he'll be over out loud, maybe he'll get out, no. Fine, but not probably. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I mean. Vashini toistru, actually, the word noistru over here means vashini toistru, actually, nizrak adam, when all you have left is a half kazayas of one and a half kazayas of the other, before the blood was sprinkled, then those never can become noistru, because if the blood, even if the blood is sprinkled, it's not considered a kosher carbon. And that would be Umani Rabbi Yeshua. Specifically, that would be, that braisa, therefore, would be according to Rabbi Yeshua. The Tanya, as we learn in a braisa, we actually had a machlokas on this topic in a previous perek. We had Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Yezer arguing on that point in the previous perek. If you have that Rabbi Yeshua had said over there, that the fact that the Torah puts together dam and boser, the dam v'checha yishav v'chamiz v'hashem alatecha v'abosu treso, v'asita alatecha abosu v'adjam, rather, v'asita alatecha abosu v'adjam amiz v'hashem alatecha. Rabbi Yeshua said that there's a similarity in the sense that if there's no boser, then you don't sprinkle the dam, and Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with him on that. So therefore, so according to Rabbi Yeshua, he says, kol azvachim shabat Torah, sh'nishtai v'hem kazayis boser, any korban in the Torah, other than oila that is, if you have left a kazayis of meat, of the meat of the carbon, or the kazayas chalev, or you have left a kazayas of the chalev, fine, zodek as adam, you can sprinkle the blood, because either way you have enough for it to still be considered a kosher carbon. see Zayas Bosom, I'll see Zayas Pelev, whereas he says, you only have a half the Zayas of the meat and a half the Zayas of the Pelev, ain't a Zerdik of the dumb, and you don't sprinkle the blood because you don't have enough of the carbon left over to be worthwhile to sprinkle on. Yeah. By Shlomim, by any carbon that's meant to be eaten. Over Ola, when it comes not for an Ola, but over Ola, see Zayas Bosom, I'll see Zayas Pelev, with an Ola, even if there's left only half the Zayas of one, half of the other, Zerdik of the dumb, you go ahead and sprinkle the blood, with Meshakula Kolo, because the whole thing is burnt down in the Zayas anyway, and therefore it doesn't matter, there's no distinction really between Bosom and Emorim in that case. And then he continues, Umincha, Afilu, Kula Kayemis, as far as a Mincha, even if the whole thing is still in existence, Lo Yizlik, you shouldn't sprinkle the blood. What do you mean? Mincha Maya Vidya. What does a mincha have to do with sprinkling blood? A mincha, you have a claim. Mincha Sestachim Aboyim Azek. So the Papa says, we mean over here, the mincha that comes together with a carbon. For most carbons, Ola, Shlomim, etc., come together with a mincha. The point is, if let's say, for example, with an Ola, all of the meat and all of the chalev was destroyed or lost or what have you, and all you have left is a mincha Sestachim, he's saying that's not enough to sprinkle the blood for it, because the mincha is not the actual carbon itself. It's only something that comes along with the carbon. Therefore, it's not kosher enough to sprinkle the blood on behalf of it. Well, that's also true. The mincha could be brought at a later time, right? So, yeah. So you need a kazayas of the meat. You need a kazayas of the meat or the chalev, and in the case of the ola, it can be a combination of basar and chalev together. But at least you have to have that. So therefore, again, the braisa before that said that with an ola, the meat and the chalev combined, implying that with a shlomim not, that works according to Rabbi Yeshua, who says exactly that. Mishnah continues, hakomis v'alaboina v'aktoris, as far as the komis of a mincha, and laboina, that comes with a mincha, v'aktoris, u'minchas koinim, recorded this on Amar Aleph. If a person were to offer a kazayas of one of them outside the Beit Mikdash, then he'd be chayav of Koreis or Chasim. Rabbi Yehuda points to Ad Sheyakru of Eskolan. Rabbi Yehuda passes him unless he's makruv the whole thing.
Well,
okay, no, obviously not all three of them. But so Rashi explains like this. When it comes to the previous Mishnah about the Ola, the thing is that all you need, the basic thing that with an Ola is that the blood of it has to be sprinkled. Okay, according to Rabbi Yeshua, you need at least the kazayas of the carbon to still be in existence in order to sprinkle the blood. But the fact is, the basic kapara of the Ola or any other carbon is accomplished by sprinkling the blood. Therefore, Rabbi Eliezer has no reason to argue in the previous Mishnah and say that you should have to be makir the whole thing, that a person should have to be makir the whole thing outside in order to be chayav kares. A kazayas of it is enough. However, when it comes to the things listed over here, the komis and the levoina, etc., they have to be whole. If you had, for example, if you took the komis of a mincha and then some part of it went missing, you can't be makir with the rest of that komis. If you have, for example, and let's say the same thing with minchas koyanim and the rest of them, you have to have the whole thing is there. The holy sarin or whatever the size is has to be there. Otherwise, you can't offer it. Therefore, Rabbi Yezer would say that therefore, if a person's not makruv it all outside of this mitzvah, then he's not doing what would be acceptable on the mizbeach. Therefore, he can't be hired.
Out. And
you don't have the whole thing, and he would say that a person's father. Rashi adds that the Rabbanan disagree with that because they say it's true you have to have the whole thing, but the fact is that you can be makir with them one kezayis at a time. And Rashi brings from a Mishnah in Menachos that says, let's say a koymet. The koymet of a mincha consists of at least two kezayim. The actual size is going to depend on the size of the person's hand, but the minimum is two kezayim. If you have the whole koymet is there, but you were to take one kezayis of it, I mean makir with it on the mizeah, and then another kezayis, that's fine. As long as you have the whole koymet is there, one after the other. So therefore, the Rabbanan said, by analogy, therefore, a person was makir of a kazayas of one of these things, but oh, then already that'll be enough to make them chayav. Yeah. Um, yeah. V'kulam shehikriv v'snim b'shir man kazayis. All of them, if he offered all these things listed in this Mishnah, if he offered them in, and for that matter, the previous Mishnah about the Ola, if he offered all of them inside the Beit Mikdash, the Shir Mehen Kazayas, and he left over at least a Kazayas or more, the Kriva Bachus, and he offered that Kazayas outside, Chayav, then he's definitely Chayav. Even, and that would be, we said before, the Ma'ariv Krokus says that even Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon would presumably agree to that, at least according to the Rambam's way of understanding, because you offered every, because at this point, this is all that's left of the thing. Even if you say that it can't be Chosr, but at this point, it's not Chosr because the whole thing was already offered. The carbon was already burnt on the back. Right.
Except for
Kazayis, right. The Kulan Shachosu Kolshu and another din, all of these things listed in our Mishnah, if any of them went missing before it was offered on the Mizbeach, it got lost, it got burnt, or whatever, not burnt on the Mizbeach, I mean burnt off the Mizbeach. So if any of it is missing, the Kriva Bachos, and he offered it outside of the Mizbeach, Potter, then he's Potter, and because, again, it has to be complete. Rabbi Yezer is saying earlier in the Mishnah that a Kazayis of it is Potter Bachos because you have to offer the whole thing together. The Chachamim answer that no, the fact is you can be matched with a Kazayis of it at a time and it would still be kosher. But if some of it is missing, even the Chachamim agree it's possible to go on the Mizbeach, if any of the Mincha was missing before it was offered on the Mizbeach, therefore, by analogy, if he drew it outside, if he does it outside of the Smithish, then he's not Chayav Karas for it. It's not something that's going to go on the Mizbeach.
If the Hona was not royal,
it was not there, then it's not royal for the Mizbeach. Yeah.
So
then, Rashi points out, by the way, that wouldn't necessarily apply to Lavona, because Rashi points out that in Menachos, we're going to learn in a couple of weeks, Bez Hashem, in Menachos, Yem Machloikis, between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, but you are supposed to have a certain amount of Lavona. You're supposed to have a chomus of Lavona on a mincha. But b'dieved, if all you have is one piece or two pieces, one piece according to Rabbi Shimon, two pieces according to Rabbi Yehuda, then the mincha is still kosher b'dieved. Therefore, when we say over here chosra, we don't. In the case of the mincha and the ketores and so forth, it would tack a mean. You have to have the whole amount. But in the case of Lavona, not necessarily, because all you have to have is one or two pieces for the carbon to be kosher. Pieces of Lavona comes in like flake-like shape, in flake-shaped pieces. No, that's shemen is oil. No, you're thinking of soil. No, Lavona, in English, it's called frank. In English, it's called frank. Hold on. Okay. A regular mincha has three components. There's solus, which is flour, which is not flour like the kind you buy in the store, but something more like semolina, like a larger, more grainy flour, kind of. You have oil, olive oil, and you have lavona, which is a spice, which comes in little granules, little like flake-shaped pieces, kind of. So they're called, in Gemara terminology, those pieces are called crust. So according to the Shimon, all you need is one kodas of Lavona. Lachili, you should have more. But with the Eved, if you only have one kodas, and the Mincha is kosher, according to the Yehuda, you need at least two. There's a flake of Lavona. So Rashi explains that when we say over here, Kulam Shafosu Kol Shehen, we're actually not talking about the Lavona, because the Lavona is packed there, so there's one piece left according to the Shimon, or two pieces according to the Yehuda, and he was makir outside of the Mishnah. So he would be chayev, because that is Rory Lover's Nim. That is something that could be brought on the Mizbeach. No, one piece according to the Shimon, or two pieces according to the Yehuda.
So being Mako, he's makir, yeah. Remember that?
No. Usually what you do is you take a koimes of Lavona, you take a handful of Lavona and put it on and sprinkle it on the mincha, and then as part of the process of being matched with that mincha, the Kohen takes a koimes from the mincha and then he collects all the Lavona from on top of the mincha and he puts them in a free shabbos and is matched with them. But we're saying, let's say for example, even to begin with, let's say a person only put one piece of Lavona or two pieces of Lavona, according to the Shimon or according to the Yehuda, as the case may be, that would be kosher. So therefore, by analogy, if you took one piece of Lavona, according to the Shimon, or two according to the Yehuda, and a person was master of it outside of the Mishnah, she'd be five cards, yeah. By the way, let's learn the Gemara first, then we'll talk about an idea involving the amount of service. We always say, we gain davening, craft the shachar, or craft gain habayim, half a, half a mana in the morning, half a mana in the afternoon, where does that shiur come from? So let's learn the Gemara first, and then we'll talk about that a bit. Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a Braita. Hamakchev kezayis b'chutzchayv. If somebody offers ketores a kezayis outside of the sefer, then he's chayv. Chafit kach b'snim pasul. On the other hand, if he offered, and the Gemara is assuming at the point that we mean if a zor were to offer a half a prat of ketores inside the mikdash, then he would be pasul because that's not enough. You need a whole prat. Prat b'shachlis, a prat is a half a mana. A mana is 100 dinim. So a mana is the weight of 100 dinim.
In weight.
So a mana is the weight of 100 dinim. A half of a prat is a half a mana, is half of that. We're talking about a half of a prat, so a quarter of a mana. The weight of 25. So the Braisa is saying that if somebody, and we assume it means a zur, were to offer a half a prat, or even it could be more than a half a prat, the point is it's not a full prat, it could be kazayah, if there's anything less than a full prat, then he'd be positive, the pashas, because that's the amount you need, because the pashas, that's the amount you need for the mitzvah. Okay. So the Gemara says, kasafadayah, so we assume my potter zur. So we assume that potter means if a zor were to be makir is less than a prat, then it would be potter because that's not the proper way of doing it, because there has to be at least a prat. There has to be a prat b'shachris or prat b'harbah. The question is, am I? Now, why should he be potter? Actually, the fact is, we just said that if a person is makir of kezayis, a chodesh outside of his mikvah kezayis, so why, if a zor does it inside, if he does a kezayis or more inside, why should he be potter? The fact is, he just doesn't. Okay, the fact is, we see that a kezayis is enough to be considered haktara when it comes to malabachos. So why shouldn't it be enough inside the Beis Mikdash to say that a zor is chayav mitzvah for doing because he did it on avodah? It should be the same thing. Amar Rav Zera, Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Rav Yirmiyah v'Abba, Amar Rav, you're right. My potter tzibur. You're right. You know what we say when we say potter? What we mean is the tzibur is potter. They would yoseh the mitzvah of bringing ketora that time. Even though it's supposed to be craft the shachris to craft ben arbayim, and here less than that was brought, nevertheless there's still yotze. Because a kezayis is the minimum amount that's considered haktara. It comes out, by the way, from what Rashi is saying over here, it comes out that there's a concept that we need a craft the shachris to craft ben arbayim is not necessarily daraisa. Daraisa, kezayis would be enough, because why do you say kezayis is enough to be machayev a person outside, and a kezayis is enough to be machayev a zor? So because the Chachamim set up an amount, the Chachamim decided that the proper amount is prat. On the other hand, so the toastus and krisus and the whole sugya over there that talks about the preparation of the kurdus, which is where we get the brightest that we say every day in Kitim HaKurdus, toastus they learn that actually the amount of prat for shachris or prat ben harbayim is actually halacha l'moshe m'sinai.
So we should be
chayav. Well, nevertheless, though, I mean, based on our Gemara over here, the Tosfos over there in Christus understands that the amount of a prat to shachris and a prat ben harbayim is a lawful motion machine. But nevertheless, though, being makir kezayis is enough to be considered haktara. Kezayis is still enough to be considered haktara. A kezayis, we're saying, despite that, halacha moshe m'sinai, our Gemara is saying over here, that the point of Zera, anyway, we're saying that a kezayis is to be evident. Okay. Omer of Zera, is kashali hokashali. Okay. But if I have a question about this, then my question is as follows. Hodo omer Rav Allah. Now, when Rav says regarding this, v'ha afilu Rav Eliezer Moide, that when it comes to, we're saying even Rabbi Eliezer would agree that even though in the Mishnah Rabbi Eliezer argued and said that if a person offers a kezayis of Torah b'chutz, Rabbi Eliezer would say his potter, he'd have to be makir the whole amount, the whole chatzitras, the whole half a mana. But nevertheless, Rav says that Rabbi Eliezer would agree that inside the Beit Mikdash, it would be the sibur would be potter, they would yotze the mitzvah. But the question is, the whole Rabbi Eliezer lav haktori karma. Now, why should that be? Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah is saying that a kezayis is not enough to be considered haktora. Why would Rav be saying that Rabbi Yehuda agrees that if you were master, a kazayis inside the Beis Mikdash, then you're Yosef? It's not consistent, right? You have to distinguish between the offering of Torah every day on the Mizbeach HaZahav versus the offering of Torah in the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur. When it comes to the offering of Torah in the Heichol every day, whereas Rashi says over here the whole concept that he needs crack is only Dirabbanan, then the Kol Am will achieve. And nobody disagrees. Even Rabbi Eliezer will agree that a Kazayas is enough for the Sibur to be used. The machloikas rather is regarding the haktara in the Kodesh HaKadosh. Where there you have, the Torah says it has to be maloi chosna, but it has to be a double handful. So therefore, the marasava maloi chosna of dafta, or marasava maloi chosna of lav dafta. So Rabbi Eliezer will hold, when it says maloi chosna, it means just that. If he's master any less than that, then if not, he wasn't yoseh. And the chum will say it's lav dafta, even if he only did a kezayas, he would be yoseh.
Minimum.
The Rambam also takes this meaning that when it comes to bringing Ketoros outside the Beis Mikdash, then like our Mishnah had said, a Kazayas is enough, and for a Zohar bringing inside the Beis Mikdash also. On the other hand, the Rambam learns based on the Gemara over here that if the Kohen Gadol does any less than Maloi Chosnav in the Heichol, he won't be Chayav Misa. He has to do it in the Kodesh HaKadosh. If he does it in the Heichol, which is the wrong place for it, he has to do a full Maloi Chosnav in order to be Chayav. Omalei Abaya says, how can you say they're arguing about that, whether when the Torah says Maloi Chosnav, it means exactly that or not? V'hoki k'siva chukah. After all, when the Torah says at the end of the day, v'hoisa lachem l'chukas olam, v'hoisa zois lachem l'chukas olam, that all of these rules should be for you a rule forever, and chukah means that every detail that was said over there was massive. So Torah became of this thing, and that includes also that Torah in the Kodesh HaKadosh, which is most of it. That means everything has to be exactly the way we said. So what do you mean? When the Torah says Maloi Chosnav, it means just that, Maloi Chosnav, and no less. El Amar Abaya, no, the other way around. Back Torah, the same Kol Am Olei Tzvi. When it comes to Back Torah in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, everybody agrees there has to be a full Maloi Chosnav. And again, that's why the Rambam says if you were to be makrid less than Maloi Chosnav outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he's not Chayav Misa, because you didn't do something outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim that is supposed to be done in there. In there, you need full Maloi Chosnav. He'd Tzvi Back Torah to Chutz, rather the Machloikas, Rebbe Eliezer, and the Chachamim would be regarding the Haktorah in the Heichol, the everyday Haktorah. Do you need a pras or is it kazayis enough? Marisavo yafin and pnim nichud. Namely, one opinion. Rabbi Eliezer says that you learn pnim from chutz. You learn what takes place in the Kodesh HaKadoshim from what happens outside. Not Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Kodesh, but pnim. How it's done in the Beis Mikdash, we learn from what a person is hired for outside the Beis Mikdash. Therefore, so the Chachamim are going to say we learn one from the other. If he's hired for a Kazayas outside the Azara, then it means in the Azara, if he did a Kazayas, then the Yevet is Yosef. That's what we've been doing all this time. We've been saying that we derive what a person is chayav kares for outside of this mikdash from what would be offered inside. Here, they're saying the other way around. Omar Sabalo Yofinan, and Rabbi Eliezer disagrees and says you can't learn that way. Fine, outside. Fine. Let's say Rabbi Eliezer is going to say that outside you need the complete amount of Torah. Inside all you need is a kazai. Omar Rava, outside the Azara, right. Loyofin and Pnim Mechot means actually, what it means is like this. When it comes to the Torah in, sorry, what it means is like this. When it, Rashi says, Abaya is not actually arguing with Rava, that we are distinguishing between the Torah in the Kodesh HaKadoshim versus the Heichol. But what it is, if you were to take a Kazai, I misstated it. If you were to take a Kazai, Of the Torah that is supposed to be brought in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and a person were to offer it outside the Beis Mikdash. So, the Chachamim are going to say like this. When it comes to the Torah and the Heichol, all you need is a Kazayas. Therefore, a Kazayas from the Ketodos of the Kodesh HaKadoshim that he took outside is also enough to be Mechayim. Even though in the Kodesh HaKadoshim itself, you need a full double hand, or you need more. But when it comes to Haktara Bachot, when it comes to Allah Bachot, we're going to derive that, we're going to derive that from the everyday Ketodos in the Hay. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer says we're not going to do that. Rabbi Eliezer says, given that in the Kodesh HaKadoshim you need Meloi Chofnayim, then the only way for a person to be chayav outside of the Knesset is Meloi Chofnayim, a double handful, no less than that, not just a Kazan. Okay, we'll continue tomorrow. That's the same.